today's word.
I started a series that I titled Sacrifice of Praise. In part one, my subtitle was The Fruit of the Lips. And we talked about the power of words, or our words, either spoken or sung in praising God. It is our sacrifice which we bring to God. I'm now doing part two of the sacrifice of praise. And my subtitle is Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. One of the most important things we must always keep in mind when we bring our sacrifice of praise, when we praise God, when we dance in church, when we clap in church, when we do all these things we do in church, we must know to whom we are giving these offerings. When we praise, whom are we praising? When we clap, whom are we clapping to or for? When we lift up our hands, who is it for? When we sing, who is it for? Because if we are not careful, sometimes we do all of these things, but we are not mindful of where it's directed. Where is our praise directed? Where is our worship directed? Where is our dancing directed? And if we're not careful, we direct it to ourselves so that we become the giver and the receiver of our own praise. But it is unto the Lord, and that is what we're going to be focusing on. I'm going to go back to the text I started with in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, and that will also anchor my teaching for today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There are two references in this passage that I want you to take note of, and it tells us where we address our praise and our thanksgiving, the fruit of our lips, where is it addressed? And the passage says, it is to God. It is to God for who he is. That means that when we are thanking God, or we are worshiping and we are praising, it is to God. It is not to us, it's not to the church, it's not to the pastor, it is to God. And it is to God basically for who he is. Simply because he is God. Not because of what he has done, but because of who he is. So that's the first thing that we must be mindful of. Anytime we come to church, we say, let us clap our hands to the Lord, or let us shout to the Lord, or let us sing. It is to God, not to the church, not to the pastor, not to please ourselves. It is to God. We sing, we praise, we worship, and it is all to God. That's the first thing I want you to know. The second thing I want you to note from that verse is that it says it is also to God's name, to his name, who he is. God's name is his character. God is not anonymous. His name distinguishes him from all other gods. God has a name, and we sing and we praise his name. When you know a person by name, you are distinguishing the person from other people. Your name is what sets you apart. That's why most times when people want to know who you are, they're going to ask, what's your name? You go for interviews, what's your name? You fill a form, what's your name? Because your name is what makes you different from other people. Now, most of us have names that other people have. So we have names that other people use. But my name, I am the only one on this planet who is called Mensah Anamoa Otabo. Nobody has that name. I am the only one. I'm one of those few people who have a name that is only shared by us. There's nobody on this planet called Mensah Anamoa Otabo. Nobody. I'm very unique. You can go and Google it for yourself. Nobody else is called Mensah Anamoa Otabo. Me alone. I've tried it. A few people have stolen the Mensah and have added the Otabo. But they can't get the middle one. The middle one, they can't get it. It's too dangerous if they can't get it. Men's and water. Now, some of you have names. It's unique to you, but about 50 people, you know, if you go and Google your name, you see so many people have your name in this world. So many people. But me. Now, when we say God, so many things are called God. So many things, so many deities. But God revealed his name to Moses when he asked, who should I tell the people has sent me? He says, tell them, I am. And there is only one I am. And when we praise him and we praise his name, we are speaking or thanking God for his uniqueness based on I am. I am what? I am. But what are you? He is unique to us. We experience God based on his name. If you have been saved and have experienced salvation, then the Lord is your salvation. He is, I am your Savior. If you have been sick and he heals you, he is, I am your healer. Now, if you've never experienced God in a particular way, in a special way, then your praise of God is not going to be deep because you have no I am experience of God. But if you've experienced him as a healer and you're thanking him for your healing, the level of your praise is deeper than somebody who has never experienced healing. If you've never been broke before and somebody is praising God and say, the Lord is my provider, you say, well, but I can buy everything for myself. But there are some of us who know God is my provider. And when I worship him as my provider, there is depth and meaning. Until you experience God personally, your praise will always be shallow. You have to experience him. And that's what he says, we do it to his name, for who he means to us. Now, when I was young, child, living with my parents, I had to experience God as a great provider. Because like most Ghanaian families, poverty was not far from us. And scarcity. And difficulty, and there were moments our family went into difficulty, especially my father got sick and couldn't work again, was laid off from his job, and so there was no real income in our family. And many times life will be hard, things will be hard, we'll get up in the morning, we don't know what to do. My mother was a very praying woman. And so we go and we say, so what happens today? And you say, Nyamibe. God will do it. God will provide. Something will happen. And as a child, I learned to depend on my mother. When you say, Nyamibaya, God will do it. I just feel it is finished. Because my mom says it will be done. And you know, sometimes we'll be there in the morning, there is no food. In the afternoon, we don't know where lunch is coming from. And then all of a sudden, somebody will visit our home. And he'll say, oh, I came to visit the home and come with a lot of food. And all of a sudden, a place where there was no food, now has abundance. Sometimes it will come, a relative, a friend will bring some money. And so I got to understand the Lord is a provider. So when I'm worshiping the God who provides, it's because I have an experience of his provision. If you have no experience of that, it means nothing to you. Somebody says, I celebrate God because he healed me. If you've never been sick, you will not understand it. We give him praise for who he is, but also to his name, because we have experienced him. In fact, as a result of my childhood experiences of God, I have no anxiety where there's no money. That's how my life is. Broke doesn't shake me. You know, some people get broke and their whole life is disorganized. Broke was my normal. So most of the things that I have done in life, I have never considered money. I remember when we were going to build Central University, we had zero Nothing. But I said, we're going to build it. And we did. Because I understood that God is a provider, that even when you have zero, he has 1,000,000. He has 1,000,000,000, because he is my provider. And with that depth of experience, you can sing praise to his name and say, the Lord is my provider. You can understand when the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because I understand him as my provider, as my healer, as my deliverer. When people say, oh, things are against you, oh, this is, you're not going to last so long, I know the Lord is my deliverer. I know the Lord is my helper. I know the Lord is my shield. I may be encompassed by 1,000 enemies. I give no hoot to the enemy, because God is my deliverer. And that's how our praise deepens, because we have an experience of God. And out of that experience, we worship the Lord. All of our praise belongs to him. In the Old Testament, they used to praise God and they would say, because he is good and his mercies endure forever. This point is emphasized a little bit more in the opening verses of Psalm 29. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. And it says, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. What does this verse teach us? It teaches us that our worship belongs to God alone. We don't divide our worship. I shared about my childhood and God will supply our needs as a family. What I would see my mother do, she would thank the people who gave her whatever, and then she would go into the room or be somewhere and be singing. She would sing the whole day, worshiping God and thanking God, because she understood, although God uses people to bless us and to help us, the worship doesn't belong to the helper who gave us money. The worship belongs to God who brought the helper. Because if you understand the Lord is the one behind the scenes bringing people your blessing, giving you favor, then you don't worship the one who favored you. You thank the one who favors you, but you worship God. Our worship belongs to God alone. Because if you're not careful, you become a human worshiper. People help you, and all you do is you worship the people, you owe the people, your life belongs to them. But no, we know God uses people, and we don't worship the people. Never worship the people God used to bless you. Thank them, be appreciative of them, be supportive of them, be loyal to them, but don't worship them. Worship belongs only to God. He uses people. He uses circumstances. If you are sick and God uses a doctor to bring you health, you have to know who works behind the doctor. So you thank the doctor, Dr. So-and-so, thank you for treatment. But Lord, I worship you. You are my great healer. I'm not going to say, because I went to hospital, I'm not going to worship God as the healer. He's a healer. Paracetamol cannot heal you. Surgery cannot heal you. No human expertise can heal you. The healer is God, and he works with human instruments to bring help to us. And we have to always look beyond the human experience, the human channel, so that our worship only belongs to God. All our worship belongs to him. But if you look at that psalm very carefully, it says that, give unto the Lord, all you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. We give him all our strength and honor. Our strength there talks about what we have achieved, what we have become, the thing that makes us strong, the thing that makes us who we are. When we come to God, we give him all of that. We lay everything at his feet. So if you are a king and you come to God, you can't behave like a king. If you're a king and people bow to you, you have servants who bow to you. When you go to church and you have to bow to God, you don't tell your servant, I'm supposed to bow, but you bow for me. No, we give all that we have to him. In the presence of God, you are not a pastor. In the presence of God, you are not a king. In the presence of God, you are not a man of God, woman of God. You know, there are pastors who go to the service and they stand as if they are superintendents over God's work. No, when we come before God, we are the children of God. We are the sheep of his pasture, and we bring all under his feet. We give him all the honor. If you are so conscious of your position in life that it hinders your worship of God, then you are not going to experience God in the fullness and the depths of who he is. We lay everything, we bring our strength, and we put it at his disposal. We give him our strength and our honor. And then the verse says something else. He says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. What does that mean? We give him what is worthy and befitting. The glory that is due to his name. That means we have to be intentional about what we give to God. And that's always difficult because the Lord has left it to us to estimate the way that we worship him. So God says, when you come to worship me, consider in your own self what you think I deserve and give it to me. That's serious. But he's also watching. But he says, you choose. You when you're coming to worship God, choose what you think is befitting of me. That means that what I bring as praise to God must be better than anything I give to somebody else. Anything. So, for example, if I say I want to dance for the Lord, I want to dance to praise God, the dance I give to God must be greater than the dance I dance anywhere else. Now, there are people who give dance to a party. They can go to a party and dance all night long, slide from one end to the other, do all kinds of dance. But when they come to church, they fold their arms and do nothing. That means that you have estimated the party is more worthy than God. But if you think God deserves all your praise, then when you dance in the party, you say you dance in the party, what you do in church must supersede what you give to anybody else. Now, I am not much of a dancer. I don't dance. I am one of those Africans who don't know how to dance. You know, once in a while, the whole genetic thing mixes up. And then you find an African who can dance. So anytime I dance, my children are laughing at me because my dance is not very rhythmic. And it's been so from childhood. So I watch people dance. When I'm dancing, I just do something like this. Just knock and tap my feet or go 1, 2, 1, 2. That's my dance. Anything beyond that would be very embarrassing. I'll be dancing like a European. So, and Africans, you can't dance like a European. They don't have rhythm. Africans have rhythm, but unfortunately, this African dance European. So I don't dance much, but some of you are dancers. Wherever you go, you're dancing and you are boogieing and you are dancing, but when you come to church, nothing.